Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
Today, a special edition of Rewind, our State of the State 2020 preview. In his second State of the State speech, will Democratic Governor Tony Evers again ask legislators for all the things they've said no to for a year? Expand Medicaid, new gun safety laws, nonpartisan redistricting? Or will Governor Evers ask lawmakers to act on less controversial items in the few days they meet before adjourning this spring? Today, a special Rewind, our State of the State preview.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is a special edition of Rewind. J.R. and I are going to look at the governor's, we're going to preview Governor Tony Evers' State of the State speech, 7 p.m. tomorrow in the Assembly Chamber. J.R., overview question. Mm-hmm. The governor, for a year, has been asking for Medicaid expansion, and he's been asking for gun safety laws, and he's been asking for nonpartisan redistricting. These are overarching themes, but do you look for him to touch on those in tomorrow's speech?
Possibly. You know, it's interesting, when the budget was signed back in July, he's asked, well, you know, you say you're going back and push the Medicaid expansion again, but they just said, no, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go out there and keep putting pressure on these guys and campaigning for people. If they won't do it, we'll find people who will. Well, today, on Wednesday, we might see the beginning of the new Governor Evers in the bully pulpit. You know, so far he's got mixed reviews about how well he's used that bully pulpit. I mean, remember, he's in a difficult position of he has a Republican-controlled legislature that wants to do nothing that he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe not nothing, but they don't want to give him wins. Yes, there's very little common ground, and we've talked about the back and forth for a long time that there's not a relationship to build upon to find compromise. So knowing that Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald have been around longer than Evers have been through these fights before, how can Evers outmaneuver them or put public pressure on them ahead of this November? This may be the first sign of how is he going to do that going forward.
I kind of look forward to the governor more having the olive branch approach in his second State of the State. But, okay, let's look at some specific issues. Now, you and I were surprised at 9:40 on Sunday when the governor put out a press release on vaping. Mm-hmm. And so that's number one issue. I expect the governor to call for tougher laws to fight vaping by high school students. And let's just read a summary from that press release from Sunday. The governor is also calling on the legislature to pass a series of bills that would, one, ban vaping and vapor products on K-12 campuses, expand the definition of public health emergencies, fund a public health campaign to address youth vaping in Wisconsin, and expand the enforcement capacity of a DAT cap to prevent the sale of vaping products to kids. Given that the governor on Sunday pretty much telegraphed this as an issue, it's going to be part of the speech, isn't it?
Likely. Don't forget, there's also been movement on the federal-ish level about vaping. President Trump, although depending on which report you read, seems like he's regretting this now, but has waded into this issue about especially how it's impacting youth. Now, one thing to note, here we sit here, kind of mid to late January. How many days are going to be on the floor in the Assembly and the Senate?
I think we can count them on one hand, can't we?
Probably. The Assembly, maybe 2 days in the month after this, that there would be on the floor. If you're talking about introducing a bill, getting it through committee, and on the floor, that's a tight window to get that done. So I'm not sure if this is going to be a successful push by the governor unless he has willing partners in both houses of legislature.
Okay. Now let's turn to a letter that the governor sent the leaders of the Assembly and Senate.
I have it all right here.
Giving them homework, yeah. Which is a curious term.
I heard the term hokey used with it, but he, former superintendent and teacher. I also heard the word insulting. Republicans did not enjoy the way it was assigned to them, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
So we'll
but,
see.
But I want to pull up four specific issues, four specific asks in his homework assignment. But as we talked before the show, he also talked about the tax cut that mm-hmm. they agreed on, but his Democrats voted against.
Well, this is interesting. If you look at this letter, he talked about both a tax cut that Democrats didn't support, they voted against the budget. He talked about addressing the debt level in the transportation fund, which they did by raising registration fees, but not the gas tax he wanted, which Democrats also voted against that because it was in the budget. So some of the things he's touting as successes are things his Democratic colleagues opposed because they wanted to back the Evers version of the budget. Remember, Evers had a choice, sign the document that passed or basically veto the whole thing and start over. He chose signing it with the tweaks. It's an interesting kind of approach or position for Democrats to be in the legislature of, this is our guy at the podium, this is our governor, we're going to cheer him on. but he's touting things that we did not back. So what do we do when he talks about those things?
Okay, but now let's look at three specific things that the governor in his homework assignment mentioned. Number one, a price cap of $100 for a 30-day supply of insulin. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's been no movement at the committee level on this bill, has there?
I'm not aware of it, following that closely, so I'm not
okay.
Sure.
What do you feel? Are we likely to hear this?
Probably, yeah. I mean, this is kind of, people I've talked to.
It's a very
popular
issue.
This is the roadmap to his speech.
Yes.
These bills are in here.
Okay.
In his letter.
Okay. And then let's go to legislation directing the DNR to establish and enforce PFAS standards.
So there are couple fronts on this bill. One, there is a bill that's before the Assembly and the Senate on Tuesday that would basically put
today.
Limits on using firefighting foam that includes PFAS, okay? New restrictions on that. There's a separate bill called the CLEAR Act that Democrats have proposed that goes much farther with these DNR standards. Now, there's been pushback. Rob Coles is the Republican chair of the Natural Resources Committee. In committee, when Democrats opposed the firefighting foam bill, saying it doesn't go far enough, we should be doing the CLEAR Act, Coles said, the science doesn't support it, this would blow up businesses, but we're going to have conversations. Me, you, Dave Hansen, John Nygren, the Republican co-chair of the Finance Committee, also from Marinette, where there's a PFAS issue in the environment, we're going to have conversations and find a compromise. But let's not blow up this firefighting foam bill just because of this. So the question becomes, does that firefighting foam bill go first, and then a CLEAR Act or a version of it comes behind that?
Well, okay. You and I expect by the end of today, both houses to put this ban on PFAS in firefighting foam on the governor's desk. So it's very likely that the governor is going to say, thank you, legislature, for passing the ban narrowly on PFAS and firefighting foam, but I call for this broader CLEAR Act that is actually mentioned in his homework letter.
Now, worth noting, Dave Hansen, senator from Green Bay, in that committee hearing that I covered about the firefighting foam bill, said, hey, if you guys don't take this more seriously and get stronger on this, the governor might veto this firefighting foam bill. I don't know what poll Hansen has with the governor in terms of veto, but that was what he said during the committee hearing. Now, for people like John Nygren, this is a big issue back home. This is the water issue talked about. There's an issue back home in Wells, concerns about how it's impacting their health. They want something to get done so they can go home and say, look, I took care of this issue, or we've addressed it because you're concerned about it back home.
Okay, let's look at another item that the governor in his homework letter. He is calling for, there's been some committee action on this, a system that processes, tracks, and funds the testing of sexual assault kits in order to prevent future backlogs. JR, there's some Republicans on this, and there's a compromise that's been worked out by Attorney General Josh Call. I fully expect him to call for this, but is it hung up in the legislature? What's
right now, Joe Sanfilippo, Republican chair of the Health Committee, I believe Health Committee in the Assembly, has not moved on the bill. He has raised concerns about the legislation. He's been getting pressure to push the bill.
Excuse me.
So that's the thing. What's Sanfilippo going to do with this bill? Will he move it? If he doesn't, we'll let out of committee. I'm not sure how it gets to the floor, unless leadership puts pressure on him and says, you got to get this done. It's kind of up in the air right now when this bill gets done this session.
Okay, but since there has been some legislative activity, this is potentially something they could act on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the cap on the $100 for a 30-day supply of insulin, that's got no start. That hasn't been started in legislature.
I haven't seen a big push for it just yet.
Okay, let's mention a couple things that you and I don't think are going to come up in the speech. Even if they come up, he wants the dark store loophole closed. There is no traction in Assembly and Senate to begin that.
There's bipartisan support for that bill. He's called for it before, but there's also opposition in leadership. The business community, especially like WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturing Commerce, has raised concerns about the legislation. I don't know that it will move with that kind of a dynamic in both houses. So it looks like it's not moving right now.
Another thing in the in the homework letter deals with closing loopholes in sex trafficking. That's kind of all over the lot. There doesn't seem to be any consensus.
Well, again, it's the time crunch. You only have a couple days in the Assembly, a couple days in the Senate. What can they get done and get out of committee quickly that they're queued up, even being on the floor when they do meet?
Okay, let's talk broadly about state of the states. You and I have heard a few.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look for the governor to look to speak directly beyond lawmakers and make his point to the public? Or is he really saying, hey, come let us reason together and pass a few of these things?
Well,
what do you think?
That's that bully pulpit thing. And I'm not saying that the Evers is going to be kind of scolding lawmakers. Maybe he will. I talk about the bully pulpit. What I mean is that it's the opportunity to take your case to the public. Because let's face it, the front page of every newspaper in Wisconsin on Thursday will have the governor's speech right there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably big headline, what he called for. How effective can Evers be as a public pressure person, like you're putting public pressure on these guys to do stuff? Look, they're not going to agree to expand Medicaid. They're not going to agree to pass new gun control legislation. But can he make them uncomfortable enough that there are cracks in the facade of, like, we're not going to do this? Or put vulnerable members of the Republican caucuses in a position that they feel pressured and that it could hurt them come election day? Because the reality is, until you flip the control of those House of Legislature, Evers is not going to get much done. It's just the way it is. The majorities Republicans have are so significant, they're not going to lose control this fall, barring President Trump, like, having collapse, unlike any collapse I've ever seen of a person on the top of the ticket. We're going to have a Republican control legislature next session. So can Evers make any progress? Make these guys go, oh, we lost X seats because of this issue. We should do something next session. Right. I'm not saying that it will happen, but that might be a path for Evers to break some of this logjam about his priorities.
Number one thing you're going to look for in the State of State speech tomorrow?
Good question. Look, Governor Evers is not somebody who's a political animal.
Right.
It's like the good and the bad of Evers sometimes. He is not that a political animal, which is a relief for some people after 8 years of Scott Walker. The same time, he's not a political animal. He doesn't work the levers of power in the Capitol as well as he could at times. He's not as cutthroat as past governors have been. Look, you know, this is not a pleasant business. You have to be tough and to get what you want done. Walker did it. Doyle did it before him. Tommy Thompson had a great way of, you know, like, browbeating lawmakers to what he wanted them to do. Can Evers be a little more political and get something done? I mean, the reality is, in 2022, assuming he runs for re-election, his fate may be tied to national wins. You know, if Trump wins in 20, it'll probably be a good year for Democrats in 2022. If Trump loses this fall and it's a Democratic president, typically in Wisconsin, we've seen the party in power of the White House struggle.
Okay.
What can Evers point to as successes between now and 2022 to say, eyes are on the term?
Okay, I'm going to make a prediction. He makes no reference to the trial of President Trump on impeachment in the Senate, because he has said, I'm a governor, I have enough to do.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Sure. I don't see why that would be something he'd really want to focus on.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. I'm going to look for the tone of the speech to really see, and the reaction, whether he asked for not small bore. These are not small bore changes, but you know what I mean? If he doesn't aim for these overarching major changes that he's gone on the campaign trail for, asking for, these small bore changes and establish some type of relationship with the Republicans, that's what I'm going to be looking for.
Let's be honest. There aren't a lot of people who watch the speech unless they're junkies like we are.
Yeah.
So there is a thing that I've heard that Evers is not the best public speaker of the past governors that we've had. Does he improve in that front? He's gotten better. You know, how does he improve? The big thing is, how does it come across in the clips, in the TV reports we're going to see, and in the quotes we're going to see in the newspapers the next day? Because that's how most people are going to see their coverage. How's he come across in that coverage of it? He doesn't do stem winders. That's not his style. He's a much more of a kind of even-keeled kind of guy. But how's that speech come off in the coverage?
Think he'll introduce any Packers in the gallery?
If there's some, I'm sure he would, despite Sunday's performance.
Despite Sunday's performance. Well, you can watch Governor Evers' speech at wisi.org and Wisconsin Eye. And Rewind this Friday, although JR is be off with his family, we'll take an in-depth look at that speech. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm JR Ross.
And that's a special edition of Rewind, looking at the governor's State of the State speech.
Rewind. Your Week in Review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.